This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with A Time for Everything, The God-Given Task, From Dust to Dust, An Unhappy Business, and A Threefold Cord. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave me.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor
sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter sufferings and death,
your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, as we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of the angel to the Virgin Mary, so by the message of his cross and passion, bring us to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Annunciation of our Lord is taken from Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Amen.
mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When the angel Gabriel announced the good news of the incarnation to Mary, she asked, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And to be sure, human wisdom fails to account for this most holy and blessed event. How can a virgin conceive? How can the infinite Godhead be contained in human flesh? How can a child born in Bethlehem be the Savior of the nations? No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how much Bible we have read or memorized, no matter how many sermons we have heard or preached, we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him. But faith, the faith which you are called by the gospel of baptism, the faith which is enlightened by the gifts of God's Word and Holy Supper, the faith in which you are sanctified and kept by the Holy Spirit through his chosen means, that faith knows, that faith trusts, that faith confesses, nothing will be impossible with God. This is the message behind and below and throughout today's gospel. Nothing will be impossible with God. For God's daily occupation is making something out of nothing. Out of a formless void of darkness, God speaks into existence light. From dead dirt, God molds a living man. From a piece of bone, he builds a lovely bride. Aged Elizabeth rejoices when John leaps for joy inside her barren womb. A virgin conceives. And this is no divine magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat in order to entertain the masses. This is God being God, always pulling everything out of nothing in order to save the world, always making something out of nothing by means of his almighty word. For nothing will be impossible with God. And so it happened. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee that no one had ever heard of, to an adolescent girl who had never known a man. Her name was Mary, and she was more than engaged to a man named Joseph, who was of the house and line of King David. "Greetings, O favored one," Gabriel preached, "the Lord is with you." And yes, the Lord was, quite literally, it turned out. But Mary was greatly troubled at the saying of this angel and tried to figure out what kind of greeting this might be. Even though Gabriel calls her favored one, Mary is troubled, and we would be too. The visible presence of an angel in your bedroom, its booming voice in your ears, this is hardly the happy experience that Hallmark advertises. In Holy Scripture, angels always terrify those whom they visibly visit. Isaiah in the temple saw the seraphim above him, and he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Even in Luke's beloved Christmas story, it's easy to miss the horror scene that unfolds when an angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, and the awesome and the awful glory of the Lord shines around them. They were filled with fear. And so is Mary when Gabriel came to her. In our world that has almost completely lost the fear of God, where the holy houses of the Lord are treated as gymnasiums and auditoriums, where the holy things of the Savior are forsaken for a Sunday morning McMuffin, it may be impossible for us to understand the fear and trembling of Mary. "The Lord is with you," Gabriel said, but this is not automatically good news. As if the cute and cuddly deity has now come for playtime. "No one can see God and live," the Lord said to Moses, and Mary knows it. So did Isaiah, and that's why he cried, "Woe is me." It takes an additional word from the Lord to know why he has come, whether to save or to destroy. So after Isaiah despaired of his own sinful self, one of the seraphim flew to him with a burning coal, and after touching Isaiah's mouth said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Likewise, when the Christmas shepherds were filled with fear, the angel had to speak to them an absolving word, "Fear not." and so it was with Mary. Gabriel must offer an additional word so that Mary knows why he has come. And so he says, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." And Gabriel says the child's name shall be Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Gabriel says that this Jesus will be great. He'll even be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Gabriel says the Lord God himself will give to Mary's son the throne of David, making him king over God's chosen people forever and ever. Now all of this might be worth a question of clarification or two, but Mary does not fixate on the part where Jesus will be an eternal king as well as the Son of God. No, Mary is way back at the first part of Gabriel's speech, where the angel messenger of God said something that's nagging at her. So she says to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Mary may have been a young teenager. She may have been from a Nowheresville town, but Mary knew where babies come from. She knew that virgins don't conceive. So how is this possible? We can't have a royal baby without a royal wedding. Can't call his name Jesus without a child to name. And so the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." That's really not much of an explanation, for miracles cannot be explained, only believed. And so Gabriel adds another word of reassurance, another word of promise. Nothing will be impossible with God. And at that point, all that faith can do is say, "Amen," which is precisely what Mary does. "Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." So when all was still and it was midnight, the Almighty Word, who is God, the Almighty Word who makes everything out of nothing, descended from the royal throne to fill a palace of virgin flesh with all the glory of the Godhead. He pulled everything human, body and soul, eyes, ears, and all our members. He pulled it all into God. That's Jesus, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven to be an embryo. That's the miracle of the incarnation, that God sucked his thumb and dirtied his diaper, that God learned his ABCs and survived puberty, that God ate and drank, that he sneezed and cried, walked and talked, that he lived and died. And it all started when out of the nothingness of Mary's womb, the Word who makes all things made for himself a body, human through and through. And the great good news of this incarnation is that as it went for Jesus, so now it goes for you. For in his word and sacraments, the Lord is with you. In the waters of your holy baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power of the Most High overshadows you, covering your guilt, forgiving your sin, all by means of water and the Word who became flesh. What Jesus does, you do in him. He is conceived, in him you are reconceived. He is born, in him you are born again from above. He is the Holy Child of the Heavenly Father, and for his sake you too will be called holy. It's nothing short of miraculous, but then again, your salvation is nothing less than God being God, always pulling everything out of nothing in order to save you, always making something out of nothing by means of his almighty word. Yes, the Lord is with you, and miracles like this cannot be explained, only believed. Thus, the Lord sends his messenger to add more words of reassurance, more words of promise, words like, "Your sins are forgiven," words like, "Take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood," words like, "The Lord bless you and keep you." And at this point, all that your God-given faith can do is say, "Amen. Nothing will be impossible for God. So let it be to me according to your word." In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let us come before the Lord, humbly imploring him to look in mercy on us, the whole church, and the world. that the church would rejoice in her freedom from the condemnation of the law and take delight in the redemption of Christ, proclaiming to all the world the crucified and risen Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the leaders of the nations would make decisions that reflect God's care for the whole human family, guiding and protecting their citizens and working for the well-being of all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would look with favor upon all who suffer from political unrest and strife, and that he would bring relief in due time. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That in our life together here at this seminary, we may walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, showing generosity of spirit to one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That those plagued by doubt and despair would be strengthened and sustained according to the Lord's good and gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the hospitalized, the sick, the homebound, and the dying would be sustained in the promises of Christ, the great physician of body and soul. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we would ever give thanks to God for the saints who have gone before us, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, of whom was born the Christ, the Savior of the world, whose return we await with hopeful expectation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.